Episodes in accordance for the wheelchair audience. You don't want to miss any audio clips, cause we're providing information, tips and some tricks for every state and every nation. Someone can benefit, like, what's the best fabric? Should I get the Tiger's yellow carbon fiber palette?
Welcome to Wheelchair Nerds, a podcast to connect and inform people who utilize, prescribe, and provide seating and wheel mobility equipment. I'm your host, Angie Kiger. Before we jump into today's topic, a brief reminder that the information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical, billing, or legal advice. Now, let's get to it. Season 2, Wheelchair Nerds, here we are. Welcome, welcome, guys. I always say this, but I can't believe how time just flies by, how fast it flies by. We took a little over 2 month break of Wheelchair Nerds for the holiday season, for end of year, and also, honestly, to give Kayla and I, if you don't know who Kayla is, our executive producer, the opportunity to get some other work done, because both of us have full-time jobs here at ProMobile besides doing a podcast, but also to brainstorm and to plan what we want to do for season two and connect with some potential guests and whatnot. And also, one of my favorite things we did in the off season was we were able to work with a gentleman I had the opportunity to meet last year, and we did a ProMobile portrait on him, a gentleman by the name of Fees. I'm going to have him explain his name here in a little while, but somebody would say his government name is Corey Lee, but Fees has been his stage name for, I think, since he was probably in high school or post-high school. He'll correct me, I know, on that one. But great guy, lives up in Connecticut. He served in the Navy, and we relate on a bunch of different things. One of the things we relate on is music, because we're about the same age. And so when we talk about hip hop and R&B from the 90s, we both know the artist and whatnot. And he was actually stationed when he was in the Navy in Newport News. So there are some pretty good folks that come out of Newport News that have been on the map in terms of R&B and hip hop over the years. So I'm super excited to have Corey with us. He actually was a gentleman who we contracted to write our new song. You heard a little bit of a preview, kind of a sampling of it at the beginning. We have got some intro music with it. And at the end of the podcast, don't worry, guys, you're going to have the opportunity to actually hear the song in its entirety. It was genius from what we heard. I mean, this is someone I was blown away when we had our first meeting about it, and he already had some lyrics and whatnot prepared. So we're pumped about it. Without further ado, Fees, first question, who are you? Tell us about yourself. If you were to meet somebody on the street, and they're like, hey, man, tell me about you. Who are you?
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me on, Angie. And I appreciate your podcast and what you're doing for the wheelchair community and giving us a voice and a place where we can talk more in depth about, you know, the things that interest us and basically our mobility equipment. But yeah, who am I? I'm Corey Feasley. I am a husband, father, Navy veteran. I was actually stationed in Norfolk, Virginia, aboard the USS Theodore Roosevelt. But, you know, I'm just an average guy trying to do the best that he can with what he has. You know what I mean? And I've been very blessed to, post-injury, become a husband, become a father of two young boys, and have the opportunity to serve my country in a capacity that not many people have the opportunity to. So I'm just very grateful for all the opportunities that have been coming my way.
Nice, nice. Yeah, Corey was brought to me through his local ProMobile rep he lives up in Connecticut, but Stacy actually, gosh, I forget, what state does Stacy live in? I feel like I should know this. Rhode Island. Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah. You know what's going to happen, Fees, is she's going to listen to this and she's going to text us and be like, I'm from Rhode Island. How do y'all not know? Anyway, shout out Stacy. We love you. So she brought Corey to me and was like, hey, how most conversations regarding how people, whether you're a clinician, whether you work for a manufacturer, provider, utilize wheelchair equipment, it honestly starts with like one or two conversations. And she reached out and she was like, hey, I've got this great guy. His name's Corey. And we want to do something different with his joystick. And then we kind of like everything kind of morphed from there, because correct me if I'm wrong with this, Corey, but you used to use a different joystick that was being discontinued or something. And so you're looking for like a new option for your new chair. And we were bringing over the Movis brand of joysticks. We distribute them here in the United States. And so then it kind of like morphed from there. And I'm a part of our marketing team, so I was helping the launch process with that. I also have a lot of experience in helping folks with learning how to drive power wheelchairs, blah, blah, blah. And as we started talking, Stacy's like, oh, you would love this dude. We just kind of like exchanged information about him. I'm like, I gotta get to know this guy more. So I think it was last February, we featured you as a ProMobile portrait. So if nobody read that, if you missed that story, go back. It's on our blog. Just search ProMobile portraits on our blog. and you'll learn all about Corey. I think I did like two, I think there's a two-part series. He really gets into his story and talks about everything from the super loving husband and proud father, but then of course his passions for music and serving our country. So from that, like I said, it just kind of, Corey's always, you know, we stay in touch. I've started following him on Spotify, on his socials, and then all of a sudden I was like, I want a song. And so, like I said, how any great connections and relationships work, we just continue to stay in touch. So gotta love it.
Yeah, I appreciate Stacy so much, because even the way that we met her, it went from, you know, trying to get a different type of cushion, going from just like the standard Rojo cushion into the Smart Check. And then she asked me about what type of chair I was using at the time, which was like a Invacare Storm TDX or something like that. And then we spoke about using a Permobil product that had the standing feature. And from there, it was just like, okay, I want to try that. And been going along with that ever since.
Crazy. We're recording this in January. It seems like Christmas was like 6 years ago at this point. Christmas was less than a month ago. And I remember sitting with my cousin, and we were talking about wanting to know more about our family. And my cousin said to me, she's like, you know one thing you have a gift at? She's like, you have a gift at just asking questions and connecting with people. And I firmly support everybody doing that with how they interact, because if I would not have that, I would say definite gift, then I wouldn't have, you know, great friends in my life like Corey and let you guys meet him today. So Corey, music, what got you into, you know, into music? And because when I say that Corey, you know, performs, produces, writes music, I mean, like, he's got a legit Spotify channel. He's released albums. So take me back. Like, what got you into doing music?
Well, it's been a while. Like, you know, so I just always grew up around it, you know what I mean? Like, my aunt had the 8-track player, and my mom would play Jackson 5 records on vinyl in the living room. And I can remember being as young as probably 6 and, like, you know, scratching it, you know, like a DJ, which I don't think she took too kind to that. But even just doing things of that nature. And then once I moved from Hartford to Bloomfield, I would always memorize people's lyrics, and I had a knack for memorizing lyrics. So when Michael Jackson came out with, you know, songs like Black or White and Jam, things of that nature, I remember people would ask me what were the lyrics, and I would rap them for them. So I think it kind of began there. And then my friend Kaz, he ended up introducing me more to East Coast artists and just hip hop in general. So that's where I started listening to a lot of Snoop, and then Nas, and then Big L and Mad Skills, and then eventually Wu-Tang. And so in 1995, when I was 12, that was the first time I actually wrote something. And I was like, it's all right, but it's not, you know, nothing to really, really write home about. And then between me and Kaz, and then my friend Rilla, and then my friend Merc, we all would just rap together. And their cousins, we would all get up. Sometimes we'd even come to my room where my cousin let me borrow her karaoke machine. And we would record on tapes that way. And sometimes when we couldn't afford like a blank tape, we would take a pre-existing tape and put tissue or scotch tape underneath it. And that would allow you to record over the tape like it was a blank tape. Yeah.
That's I had no idea.
Yeah, that's a little life hack.
A life hack. Well, of course, now, shoot, kids have no idea. I mean,
the struggles we had back then trying to make a mixtape. You know, all it takes is for you to just record straight to your computer, and you're fine, because the computer has so much space. But you had to do that via cassette back then. And for us, even to this day, I still have, we did it over a Barry White tape where he sings the song Practice What You Preach. So we still have that. And then from there, it just gradually went from tapes to CDs. We connected with a couple guys from the next town over named Kinetic and Spec. And they were working on an album called Karma Asiatic and asked me if I wanted to be on it. And I said, yeah, that would be dope. So now we're talking about, you know, 2001. Then I told them about my friends, and what was cool about their setup was at their high school, they had a little recording studio in the auditorium, like behind the stage. So I would drive over there, like, you know, sometimes, albeit I, you know, I'd skip school, skip Spanish class at the end of the day, and I would drive over there and we would record. And if we weren't recording there, we would record at Kinetic's house. And he did everything. He was a one-stop shop. Like, he could DJ, he could rap, he could record, and he produced as well. So his mom would just let us stay there. You know, sometimes it'd be 3 a.m. and we're sampling stuff off of TV and, you know, just writing and just sharpening our skills with one another.
Crazy. So you kept doing that all through high school and whatnot. I got to know, because I know a lot of people are probably wondering, where does the name Fees come from?
When I was in high school, I used to go by Phenom. Mm-hmm. And I carried that name up until about 2002, 2003. And the reason why I ended up changing it was my friend told me, he was at a car dealership out in Virginia Beach. And he said, this lady, I told her about you. She knows Teddy Riley, or that's what she said. And she wanted to hear you rap. So I drove over there and I freestyled for probably like 5 minutes for her. And she was just like, no, you're good. Like, what's your name? And I was like, Phenom. She's like, you know anything with that name? And I was just like, there's a clothing line called Phenom. She's like, you may want to think about changing your name because those things are copywritten and you don't want to get into a situation where, you know, you're being sued for copyright infringement. So my friend Rilla was getting ready to make a song off of this Tracy Lee and Biggie Smalls beat called Hands High. And I was working on trying to spell the name Phenom differently. So in the first verse, I started off, I said P-H-double-E-Z, because I was going to say P-H-E-E-N-O-M to spell Phenom like that. But then I was like, what does P-H-double-E-Z spell? And I was like, it spells fees. I was like, what do you do with fees? Well, you pay it. You got to deal with it regardless if you like it or not. And it's kind of timeless because there's always going to be something out there that requires fees, and it also deals with value and worth. And so I run more with the moniker of value and worth because I think that the product that I'm offering and just myself, regardless of my injury, there's a lot of value and worth. And I think I'm worth the fees to pay for and, you know, for the services I offer.
I mean, I would say so. We, just in case people are wondering, when I reached out to Fees and asked him if he would, I asked him to give me a price quote because I was like, I always firmly believe tell people need to know their worth and to ask for it. So yes, in case you're curious, we knew he was worth it and we happily paid his fees.
Thank you. So. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you mentioned a little bit about pre-injury. We don't really don't spend a lot of time focusing on, you know, how people got to the situations that they're in now, but I'm sure that may have perked up some ears to wonder, you know, we know you're on Wheelchair Nerds podcast. You mentioned using different power wheelchairs. Can you, you know, take me back, like, you know, how long, when were you injured? How did it happen? Kind of a brief story there.
Yeah. So June 12, 2005, just out at Virginia Beach celebrating my friend's 21st birthday. And we were waiting for the longest, what seemed like hours, before we even got to the beach. And by the time we got out there, we just had a good time. Me and my friends were tumbling on the beach because I used to be able to do backflips and stuff like that. And I got out the water and I looked up another one of my shipmates who was kind of like scouring the beach and just looking around. And I jokingly said to him, do you see anyone drowning? And he said, there goes somebody, Lee, because in the military, you call everybody by their last name. And when he said that, I just ran into the water, you know, like Baywatch, just being goofy and silly. And the water just was more shallow than deep. And I broke my neck on impact right at the moment, laying face down, preparing to drown. And I just said, God, please save me. And at that moment, I turned enough where I was able to breathe. And another one of my shipmates pulled me out onto the shore. And I was just panting heavily. And then afterwards, the ambulance came to pick me up. I can remember them bringing me into the back of the ambulance. And I said to myself, I was like, man, they're going to cut my shorts. And I just bought these last week. So it was very frustrating. And then afterwards, I woke up 3 days later from a medically induced coma. I spent 3 weeks in ICU and then 5 months rehabilitating in West Roxbury, Massachusetts, since that's the next state over, you know, from Connecticut. And I was closest to what my parents could drive to. And after I came out of there, they, you know, part of rehabbing was getting a manual wheelchair, getting a power wheelchair. At the time, it was the Storm TDX from Invacare. I think at that time I was using the Micro Extreme joystick, which I used for years. I never was a sip and puff type of person. I just thought that I would have more control watching enough people demonstrate their driving ability in the hospital. I was just like, yeah, the Micro Extremity joystick is probably best for me. I just went with that for a number of years until with the Movis product that I'm now currently using, which I like a lot. And, you know, part of the issue with the Micro Extremity joystick and the new chair setup that I found is that no matter how much we tried to connect the Micro Extremity joystick, it would just stop running after a while on the chair. It works on my other F5, but it doesn't work with this current one. But ever since I changed over to the Movis, I haven't had any issues.
Nice. So let's see. After injury, you did rehab over in Massachusetts, came home. I remember a couple of years, just based on your story, we don't need to go through the whole thing, but I remember you ended up eventually buying a home, met your wife, and then have the kiddos. When did you decide that you were missing music? Like when did you decide, like, I want to refocus? Was it like immediately after the injury? Because I know you were still rapping and whatnot. You know, music was still a big part of you, even while you were in the Navy. When did, you know, was there a break after injury, and kind of what brought you back to it?
Yeah. So after I got hurt, I just stopped. I was just like, how do you go forward from here? I can't rap or talk about the same things that I was talking about before. I can't even aspire to some of those things at all because I can't physically drive or anything like that. So there was a gap, I would say, probably from 2005 to maybe mid 2006-ish, 2007. Like, I would start, you know, I would rhyme still. You know, I would sit in bed and I would write and memorize. So by the time I woke up and got to the computer, like, I had, you know, maybe a song and a half done. And I just say, you know, maybe just change your subject content. You don't have to rap about the environment that you grew up around in part. You don't have to talk about your dreams or aspirations from a materialistic standpoint anymore. Talk about what's more substantive and what's really going to connect with people. And, you know, slowly but surely, I started realizing that many people struggle with some type of disability and they may not be willing to admit that. But sometimes it just takes for one person to step out first onto the dance floor to make you feel like it's okay. You know, that's why I came to the club anyway. I'm supposed to be partying. Not playing the wall. So, you know, I started just going from that standpoint and then realizing that nothing changed. It's just that I'm disabled now. My mind is still sharp. I still can write. You just have to come from a different perspective. And so once I started locking more into that, you know, latter end of 07, I just had to start figuring out how could I record. And that led to being able to record my first two albums were done mainly at my house before I started finding an actual studio to be able to go into that was handicap accessible and what have you. So that's how that all took place.
Nice. And those are things that I was thinking about, like, I wonder how it was different, but that's a great segue into how recording pre-injury, post-injury. You touched on a lot of things, but also something as basic as people who aren't wheelchairs, this is typically something that we easily overlook, but making sure that the studio is accessible. You know, you can have everything all set up, have space booked, and then you get over there and you're like, oh, there's steps. Like, I can't get in. Like, I can't get in to record here. So yeah, no.
That was the thing that I thought was going to be the most challenging because, like, okay, you know, recording at home, I have to factor in, all right, the long guy's coming. And so I don't want the microphone picking up him. All my kids come home, then I can hear people walking upstairs. And then, like you said, you want to be able to record, but most people with a disability prior to being able to buy affordable recording software and a microphone and all the other pieces of equipment to put into your house, most people don't have an accessible booth. It's like you could even get into the studio, but then you can't even get into the booth to record. And it's not there to accommodate the width of a wheelchair, right? So where I record at in Manchester, Connecticut, which is about maybe half an hour from where I live, I record with a man named Phil Mann at Silk City Music Factory. And the way it is, it was an old silk producing factory, and that's what Manchester is known for. He has the bifold ramp that, you know, I just drive up and I go through a door that's behind like where the actual booth is, and I'm able to get into the control room and I'm there. You know what I mean? And that was one of my first questions I had asked him when I started recording back in 2019. I was like, is it accessible? And he said, yeah. And so, you know, at that point, even when you hear that it's accessible, you still have to think about some things, because like my first type of armrest that I got, which I mean, I like them because my arm doesn't like flail backwards, but getting in the door, you kind of cut up the armrest because they extend the wheelchair to make it a little bit wider. But with the type of armrest now, you know, it's suitable, so I don't have any trouble.
Cool. All right. So let's, for someone who has never written music, although in my head when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be a rock star. I feel like most children go through that, right? I would walk around singing. My sister loves to tell stories about the things that I would like make up. Like I would be like all sing-songy, but I was never a true writer or artist. I remember my hopes and dreams were dashed when I did not make the, I guess it's like the performance choir, whatever it's called. Like it's called for us. I went to a high school called Heritage High School. I really wanted to be a New Heritage singer, Fees, but A, I can't sing and carry a tune, and B, my coordination is awful. I mean, it takes a few, and I know children aren't listening to this, but maybe they are, but I'll say it as nicely as I can. My best dancing occurs when I have partaken in some adult beverages, at least the best dancing in my head. So anyway, with that said, I can't really like wrap my head around the whole process. And I remember, and we'll use the writing of the song for Wheelchair Nerds as a great example, because I would love for you to like kind of summarize like what your process is for that, because how, you know, for the audience, like how it worked is like I shot Fees an email. I was like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Let's get together. Let's hop on a Teams video call. We can kind of discuss it. And so we go through everything. And before it was over, you're like, oh, you want to hear what I've been working on? And after that call, Kayla and I were talking. We're like, how did he do that? Like he already like, and you pulled in, you know, different parts and pieces from about the company, about the heart of the company, the heart of the podcast. Yeah. Like how does that all that come together? And we will, I think I mentioned this, you know, this will be playing at the end of this podcast, but then also we'll be sure like to help you guys locate this and eventually be able to download it from his Spotify account. But it, give me that example. So I send you an email, then what happens? And say, I want you to do a song.
Right. So I'm a conceptual artist. So if I get any type of concept, it makes things a lot easier to draw on, because usually if there's a concept, there's got to be something out there that is relevant to it. And because you already have the Wheelchair Nerds podcast and it's firmly established, you know, I was able to just listen to it and try to extract some of the most important pieces of it. It's kind of like when you read a book and you start trying to figure out what are the themes of it, what are the things that are relevant to you personally, right? So I took that and I started jotting down things like I wanted to feel like the first verse is an introduction, like the beginning of Welcome to Wheelchair Nerds. And that's why, like in the song, I say, welcome to the point of view of the wheelchair nerds. I want you to feel like you come into it. And then at the end, signing off, you know who we are, wheelchair nerds. Now you're exiting it. So those are all part of making the audience feel like they're becoming immersed in this subject content that's really important. So once I had that, I just began to just write. And so I just kind of drive around reciting, and then once I'm in front of my computer, I start jotting down things even more. And if I'm given like, I don't know, a good amount of time during the course of the day, like if I spend anywhere from like a couple hours writing it, probably by the end of the night, I can memorize most of it.
Gracious, and it's amazing. My brain can't even comprehend that.
yeah. And I mean, it comes with a lot of practice. Like one thing that a lot of people marvel at, like Jay-Z and Lil Wayne, about is their ability to do things without writing. And as somebody who's a quadriplegic and I can't physically write, I have to memorize really quick. And even though, like I said earlier, with, you know, when Michael Jackson dropped like the Dangerous album and what have you, I already had an aptitude for memorizing things. that's just where it started. And then I would like play around with the chorus. Cause even when I was talking to you guys, like I had a chorus as well. I just didn't recite it for you. I was just like, if they don't like the verse, I'm gonna have to change everything. And I was just like, okay, maybe I'll play off, you know, I'll rap here and then I'll sing here and then I'll mix it up. And then from that point on, once you guys told me that you liked the direction I was going in, I listened to your choice of instrumental in the beginning and I wanted to mimic similarly like what that sounded like. So I started working on that afterwards and that took like a week and some change to do. But then it's like you take a break and then you start going back. You know, even in the beginning, like in the beginning of the second verse, where I said suspenders, pocket protectors, we still winners. I had to start thinking more like, you know, what is the prototypical nerd look, right? And then I tried to think about kind of like the mascot, if you will, for Wheelchair Nerds, you know, thick bifocals, hopefully you'll see the vision, right? I wanted to implement that as well. And then you know, we're talking about Wheelchair Nerds and the choice, you know, should I get the tires yellow carbon fiber palette, which is the color of my chair, you know what I mean? So I wanted to implement me into it as well, because I'm a wheelchair nerd and I try to stay abreast on the different subtle changes and nuances. But I also didn't want to limit it just to someone who's a quad. That's why I spoke about, you know, the different type of metal being used on a wheelchair, and it makes it to be light. So I just try to incorporate as much as possible within a 16 bar structure.
It's so cool. Like I'm just fascinated by I'm such a nerd. It was funny. Kayla and I were talking earlier today, kind of thinking about this season, and we were seeing how the different generations, how the perspectives of nerds has changed. I'm going to say a character from a TV show back when we were younger that people still see as the stereotypical nerd, Steve Urkel. But like for us, so those must have watched Family Matters back in the day. We think of that. But then Kayla and I were talking about how actually it's interesting to see how the term nerd has actually morphed, right? Like it's now you look at all these like people are like, whoa, those billionaires are nerds. Like we're nerds when they were younger. I want to be like that person. So it's interesting to see the younger generations not seeing nerd as such a terrible term, but actually maybe something to aspire to, right? Like to be like, I kind of want to be knowledgeable. So yeah, for sure. Well, that means
especially we're in an anti-bullying climate as well. And so what a nerd was 30 years ago would have been somebody that's going to get bullied, right? Mm-hmm. But we're trying to move away from that as a society. And so yeah, you embrace it more because being smart is actually very cool. And it's not because you're a nerd, you're smart. But like you look at that person and you're just like, oh, that person's a dweeb or what have you. But yeah, the people who ascend to the upper echelons of society, the Elon Musk and the Warren Buffetts and Bill Gates, and you can go on for days, or the people that, you know, not all of the time they were always dialed into their book, but they had an idea that they really wanted to capitalize on and they've made good and done a lot of things in society.
True, true. So you mentioned when you jot down your notes, you mentioned that you're a quad. What are some of the adaptive pieces of technology, whether or not they interface with your chair or not? Like if someone's out there who is also a quad or just in general is like, I would love to have better computer access. Obviously, you're not endorsing in a brand, but like, what are the things that you've seen that have worked for you throughout this process?
Yeah, I think any type of dictation software that you could use, whether it's you're utilizing Siri, you're using Dragon, you're using even a smart device in your home, all of that contributes to, I would say, how you get from your brain to the pad. And for me, I've been using Dragon Dictation since 2005, when it was like kind of very, very new. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, it's just been such a game changer for me, because while I like the challenge of not being able to depend on writing down stuff, and I can memorize things fairly easily, it still lightens the load, because a lot of, you know, and Jay-Z said this, he's lost a lot of songs because he just didn't have the pad right there to write down. But I enjoy the process of writing, sitting there and watching the words to come together. So, you know, I utilize those. I also have a trackball mouse that is mounted in front of me. So when I need to, let's say my battery dies on my earpiece, which it lasts for about 7 hours. But after a while, like between work and wanting to write, you know, I may not have that ability to write later on, but I can use the on-screen keyboard and type that way. So I'll break up a Microsoft document and I use my mouse in conjunction with that. And with my wheelchair, I use the iDevice setup where I can sift through either my notes, my emails, even if it's in a text message. Sometimes me and my friends will just do like a friendly, you know, lyrical battle. Like we'll just be typing in different bars between them. So I use the joystick in conjunction with the iDevice on the chair to be able to access different components of my phone.
That's super cool. Yeah, yeah. I know we also have a lot of occupational therapists and physical therapists and some recreation therapists that listen to this too. So those are actually some good tips too, because say that they're working with a client who was recently injured who, you know, is, I think some of these software and these features that it's been neat to see as someone who has been in the assistive technology arena officially for 24 years now, you know, really seeing how stuff has evolved and how stuff like word prediction, it cracks me up. People are like, I remember when word prediction was a specialized software that you got to help people that had learning disabilities to be able to come up with the words. And now word prediction is a part of every text message you send because it's already thinking about what you're going to say.
Yes. So
it's been interesting to see how that evolved. But the point I'm making there is I think sometimes the general pieces of equipment or features that are available on everyday devices, I think sometimes it's easy to forget about as far as like empowering somebody who may be, you know, newly injured. They might not realize that in their iPhone, well, you can actually say, hey, Siri, and she'll start doing, and mine just cut on. Oh, she just said something. You know, you can start from there. So yeah, that's pretty sweet. Before we wrap up, there are a few things I want to make sure that we discuss. You mentioned work. I know that you've been working for a nonprofit. With that nonprofit, you also have a podcast. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yep. So I work for a nonprofit called More Than Walking. It's a peer mentoring organization where we try to partner individuals who have maybe been a little bit more seasoned in their spinal cord injury than somebody else. And when they make that connection, they can see that, you know, other things are possible. Our motto is sharing the pathway to independence after spinal cord injury. And it's head up by a gentleman named Jonathan Sigworth. And Jonathan helped me to be employed by hiring me. And so once we connected with each other, eventually he asked me if I would like to moderate the podcast, which it was called More Than Walking Roundtable Discussion. Mm-hmm. But now we've changed it into the Super Adaptables. And the reason why that came about was we were talking about what type of superhero would you be with your disability? Like, what would those powers be in conjunction with AI technology? We started formulating different versions of superheroes with disabilities in their wheelchair and how you would use that. What would your layer look like in terms of accessibility and stuff? So it's the Super Adaptables podcast where we talk about a plethora of different issues from current events to, you know, wheelchair advocacy, which Jonathan is heavily involved in here in the state of Connecticut, to just make people aware of the fact that they do have a community out there that fully supports them and can find the resources that you may not think are available. Like, some people don't think that transferring from their wheelchair to the bed and back is possible if they're a high-level quad, like a C6 through C8, but Jonathan has acquired those skill sets, and we do those through demonstration videos that we plug people in, as well as interview videos that we do to help people see that, okay, you know, such and such is dealing, maintaining with their injury. Oh, wow, they also have children. Oh, wow, they actually are independent. Oh, wow, they live on their own. There's just so many things that people just don't think that are possible, but very much so they are.
Nice, nice. Definitely check that out. Where can people find your music? Because I think, you know, I know you've dropped a couple albums, the most recent one in 2022 or three?
2023, I dropped one August 4th called With Hip Hop and R&B in Mind. I'm on all digital streaming platforms. So whether it's Tidal, Amazon Music, Apple Music, Spotify, Deezer, Pandora, you name it, I'm on it.
Nice, nice. All right, well, I'm going to wrap up with two more questions, just in case maybe we never know how the interwebs work. Who are some of your dream collaborators to work with?
Oh, wow. I would definitely, like, if in a, like, smooth type of song, me, Nas, this R&B artist, Donnell Jones. I would love like a really cool song to collaborate with those two, because Donnell Jones is my favorite R&B artist. And Nas is just, you know, he's Nas. And
yeah.
You know, his storytelling ability is something that the way he like puts words together is something that I've always admired. And his ability to take concepts and bring them to life is something that, you know, I really, really, really take to heart. And it's definitely influenced behind my pen.
Nice. All right, last question. I'll try to at least incorporate this question at some point during our podcast, but fees, why are you a wheelchair nerd?
Oh, I am a wheelchair nerd because I am always trying to figure out the limitations of my chair. And so if I think I can do it while I'm in the chair, I'm going to try it. So I've figured out how to get myself out of the house with just a chair, nothing else, like unlock the deadbolt, do the paddle handle. I've had to deal with removing snow with the chair. And just, you know, how fast can the chair really operate and go? And how can I take angles and stuff? And then with figuring out how to know the limitations of the chair, it allows me to give people like Jack, who is one of the reps here in Connecticut, feedback and ask questions like, hey, is this possible? Or can you do this? Or is this out here? And oftentimes I found out the answer is yes, but I wouldn't have known that if I didn't try different things with the chair. Same thing with the Rojo cushion I talked about earlier. When I found out, like, wait a minute, there is a cushion out there that you can check the air pressure. But I wouldn't have known if I didn't experience it. So, you know, I just like to push the chair to the limits to figure out what it can and what it cannot do, because it's an extension of me.
It's true. Very true. All right. Well, sir, I appreciate your time today to record this podcast. I'm excited for people to hear your new song and just to continue to get the word out, you know, about you. You've been talented and you know, clearly since 12 years old when you first wrote that first song. So love it. And yeah, I'm sure we'll be in touch and chat more in the future. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Wheelchair Nerds, presented by Permobile. Today's episode was brought to you by...
Permobile's power platform is expanding beyond standing. Starting today, all M and F series power wheelchairs ordered will be built with power platform electronics, featuring new modern display graphics designed with end-user input, a reduction in hardware components, and an app-based programming tool for your wheelchair team. Customization and servicing of your wheelchair has never been easier.
Thanks for checking out this episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single one. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is @WheelchairNerds. And tell your friends about our podcast too. Oh, and we really appreciate it if you give us a 5-star rating and leave a comment sharing what your favorite thing about Wheelchair Nerds is. Last but not least, if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss or know a great guest, hey, it could even be you. You could be that next great guest. Send us an email. Tell us why. You can reach us at wheelchairnerds@permobile.com or DM us on one of our social platforms. We love hearing from you. And with that, it's time to listen to the full-length version of the Wheelchair Nerds theme song, written, produced, and performed by the one and only Fees. And don't forget to check Fees out anywhere you listen to music, like Spotify, YouTube, and also Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. This is what we're searching for, right?
Episodes in accordance for the wheelchair audience. You don't want to miss any audio clips, cause we're providing information, tips and some tricks for every state and every nation. Someone can benefit, like, what's the best fabric? Should I get the Tiger's yellow carbon fiber palette? Aluminum the frame, lighter weight when traveling. No matter the fit, the topic is better access. This is the place for conversation, forum to be free like we emancipated. Look, come and see disability celebrated. Both you and me were equally created. What place you'd rather be? Time to tune in to the podcast with wise words, glasses on, ears open. Many things you'll learn from industry leaders and permobile experts. Welcome to the point of view of the wheelchair nerds. Extra, extra.
Be the hammer.
You listen.
listening to something great. You finally arrived at the place. You're sitting with the wheelchair nerds, the wheelchair nerds, the wheelchair nerds. Ride along with the wheelchair nerds, the wheelchair nerds, the wheelchair nerds. Suspenders, pocket protectors, we still winners. Thick bifocals, hopeful you see the vision, precision. Power all propelled through the pushing. Handle pressure well like a Rojo cushion. Stairs by the onlookers, this a groove, sitting in our cool wheelchair, stepping through the room. How do they do it? If you wanna know the truth, we may be paralyzed with confidence we move. I'm speaking for so many, technically we the few, discussing remedies with positive attitudes. Naysayers and haters to you, nothing to prove, like my elevator seat, just uplift my views. Now you've tuned into the podcast with wise words, glasses on, ears open. Hopefully you've learned from industry leaders and Permobil experts signing off. You know who we are.
Wheelchair
extra, extra. You're listening to something great.
I'm great.
You finally arrived at the place. You're sitting with the wheelchair nerds. The